Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. I'm sticking to my guard like a stamp to a letter, like birds of a feather we stick together. I'm telling you from the start, I can't be torn apart from my guard.
Welcome back. Before we get going with Martin here, come on, Frank. Nobody is a high school ref as their primary job. They usually do as good a job as they can. Come on, watch high school hockey if you really want to see bad officiating. No, I do want to say, as a person who watched 4 years of Alex, 4 years of Dom, 4 years of Brooke, and sat up in the top row and never said one word, I love high school officials. They do a tremendous job, and especially in St. Louis. We lost a great one in Mike Winkleman recently, so I don't want to bash him. I just got a bunch of texts last night after one of the games that said, officiating was bad at this game. But in general, high school basketball officials in this area are outstanding, and we should be thrilled to have these men. You know, Martin, there's a huge shortage of referees. I don't know if you've heard that around the St. Louis area. And, you know, these guys make pretty decent money, and you get a little bit of a workout, but they should not be abused or anything.
I've heard it's because the radio guy's calling them out. That's why they're not doing it anymore.
I'm assuming the reason there's a shortage is because even if the money's decent, it's probably not worth the headaches. If it's parents, because I'm sure parents 30 years ago, 40 years ago, were less likely to bark at an official than they are now.
Well, I guess parents do. Yeah, because parents have more of a role in
the
youth
paid
sports
for little
now.
Johnny's camp in the summer. They bought him all the equipment, and they're pretty sure that little guy is going to be making it to the pros. And that call in the JV game is going to cost them that chance to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
I bet it's parents more than... Well, Earl wrote the book 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. I'm friends with a bunch of these high school officials, and they do a great job, so I certainly don't want to be negative.
Frank, did an official's call at DeSmet cost you a chance at the NBA? Were you called for like a charge or something like that?
No, I think my parents' genes cost me a chance.
And by the way, how about Bruce Weber at the Webster game last night? I mean, he's in St. Louis more than anybody, right? I mean, Konzo's here a ton, but you can't go to a high school game without seeing Bruce Weber. And I'm sure they have a private plane to get in and out of town. That's still insane.
Yeah, so you don't think he's landing at Lambert and taking an Uber?
He's in line at Southwest. Yeah. Right, so we have to keep in mind the travel part of it is probably fairly luxurious, but it's amazing. One night you're in Lawrence and you're coaching a big game. The next night you're at the high school gym in Webster.
Believe me, if you are like a Division I coach and you're thinking about looking at a couple of other jobs, and let's just say they're equal, you go to the one that's got the better private plane. You go to the one that's got more access, and when you can get on that thing at a moment's notice, hey, I got to go to Webster tonight, boom. If you don't have that, you're dead.
You think the majority of them are booster planes?
Probably.
Or, you know, that somebody, like the school, probably can't justify it to just have a plane that's yours at your disposal. There's probably almost always a booster who says, grab my plane.
And if you're in Manhattan, Kansas,
correct,
you really have to have that. A, because there's not an airport probably that's any good. And B, because there's not many players. Now, I could argue this, that does Travis Ford really need one that often? Because if he could just get, like, not seal the borders, but if he could just get, you know, three or four pretty decent players around here, I mean, you're gonna have to get some national recruits too, but you could win at SLU by just getting the top players.
And if you're going to Chicago, Chris May's probably saying, you know, I can get you a flight pretty cheap here, yeah, Travis. I mean, that was what Majerus did. He came in and pushed the envelope, right, on travel, which I think has helped some of the other programs, namely the women's basketball, where there are times in that league you need to get a chartered flight. I mean, if you're flying your women's basketball team to St. Bonaventure, trying to get in and out of town. I mean, that's the league you chose to be in. Don't you think you owe it to some of those programs, especially SLU, where they stress student athletes? You got to have some chartered flights.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that's got to be some brutal trips. Although the women's basketball team was in with Rich on Sunday night, and I asked the
group, was his behind the door.
Yeah, I don't. They don't.
Does
really
he still do that?
The door has kind of gone away.
Okay,
no more door. Rich being surprised at who we booked to be on the show, but Lisa Stone and a couple of her players, and then Mickey Smith, who's the women's sports information director. I said, "Give me the best road trip in the Atlantic 10," and all four of them said Rhode Island, Rhode Island, and they said they stay in Newport, Rhode Island, which apparently is a pretty fancy area. You're right on the water. I've been to Providence, but have never been to the University of Rhode Island or to Newport, and they all said immediately. And then a couple of the players said, also where we stay is by this really cool outlet mall. And I said, okay, here we go. I thought it was about sailboats.
Let's shoot 500 free throws and then go shop.
No, let's be honest, though. When Frank was a player, I'm sure, you know, we were near a really nice steakhouse.
Bonanza.
Some nice restaurants.
Oh, my God. Bob McCormick and I were together the other night, and we believe that we've eaten in more bad steakhouses in the state of Missouri. Our trips were Kirksville, Rolla, Maryville, Warrensburg, and we'd eat at the Bonanza there all the time. Is Bonanza still
I think once you and McCormick retired, they went out of business.
Yes.
There's probably a Bonanza somewhere.
Bonanza Steakhouse.
I would like to throw this out to our texters right now because we got a lot of fans that go to high school events at 855-282-8255. What sport causes the most raucous behavior and maybe the toughest for an official?
I'd say hockey.
Bam. That's
because no offense to hockey people, but they seem
Here comes
nuts.
The offense. Okay, here.
Yeah, they seem nuts.
Hold on. No offense. They seem nuts.
No offense, but they seem crazy.
There was a Chaminade CBC little exchange
there was.
A few weeks ago.
Apparently it was, I'm trying to think of the right phrase. Like it was not, I won't say no harm, no foul, because there was some harm. But
yeah, somebody got punched in the nose.
Oh my God.
So this was students. There was a fight after the game, but apparently the one kid swung and missed. The other kid swung and didn't miss. And so there was no charges or anything. Both parents said it happened.
There are two Ponderosas in the area, Frank.
How about Bonanza?
Not seeing a Bonanza.
Okay.
The Ponderosas are in Arnold and in like near Washington. The Bonanzas, if you really want to go to one, there's one in Des Moines.
All right.
That's probably the nearest one.
Chances Kenny Wallace has been to that Ponderosa in recent months.
Probably pretty good. There are five Bonanzas in Puerto Rico. I have no idea why.
Really?
That makes no sense to me.
Huh. I used to have that banana bread pudding. It was outstanding. 855-282-8255, the most raucous atmosphere for a high school sporting event. I'll tell you, some of these basketball games are tough, too, but I don't think baseball, but let's just hear from. Maybe there's some women's sports where it gets a little heated.
I can see soccer getting heated, like women's soccer.
The one thing about hockey is you have a little bit of distance. Well, you do have no offense, they're nuts. But you do have the glass. I mean, you have a little bit of separation. Whereas basketball, some fans could get right in that front row and are screaming at you and a little more in your face potentially.
How about how the crowd is, like with where they go back and forth, like if a DeSmet is playing like a Hazelwood Central crowd would be yelling, "We've got girls, we've got girls." And the DeSmet people would counter, "We've had your girls, we've had your girls."
One popular one when I was in high school was to public schools to shout, "Waste of taxes."
Wait, say this again?
"Waste of taxes." That's what we used to chant at the public schools.
The CBC people would be yelling, waste of taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the "We Got Girls" would be chanted back. All in good fun.
The most hostile environment I've ever been in for high school sports was when DeSmet beat Central and Pee Wee Leonard. I was in grade school.
81.
And I think it was at Umpsall.
Yep.
And as the game ends,
that was the Central team that had been averaging 100 points a game and looked invincible.
And DeSmet knocks them off in the playoffs. And my friends and I are running around on the floor. And it got a little physical. And my friend said, "I just got hit in the head with a shoe." And then some girl punched my friend in the head.
Oh,
the Central crowd was really upset that they lost that game. I mean, it was
They were the better team, yeah.
It was really weird. Like, even late in the game, there were fans of Central, like, holding money and waving money, like, at the officials, like, saying, "Can you be bought?" I mean, it was really weird. If there were officials that worked that game, if they're still alive, I'd love to talk to them about how hostile that environment was.
We'd always have to play at Umpsall that quarterfinal game. My senior year, we played the year before against Northwest with Tony Dye, remember him, and Daryl Anderson?
Remember the names.
Yeah. But I tell you what, the most racially filled racial tension game of all time was DeSmet against Vishon, Bergman and Floyd Irons, who did not hide their dislike for each other. And Alex was just like a little kid, and I remember putting Alex underneath the table right after the game. It was crazy. I had got this. This was so long ago. This was our first trip to Rome. I got a good leather jacket that I wore that night. And then when we were like running to do interviews, like right afterwards on the court, I went back and the jacket was gone.
Oh,
It's crazy.
I want to ask Floyd who he hated more, Dale Bergman or Bob McCormick?
Ooh.
It's pretty close,
rivals,
right?
Yeah.
Didn't Floyd back the bus into Bob's bus or something weird at when they played a game? Bob could probably explain this story better, but there was some kind of incident with a bus.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, wasn't no. there? Not that we go. This is a really negative show today, really.
This really is. We should be really happy dark. The Blues won. I'm getting a lot of agreements about hockey parents being crazy.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
the way.
How about this from Miss Pritchard? As a former hockey mom for 10 years, I can attest that being the worst. Also, there was an issue with a DeSmet dad who is a doctor and a dad of the team captain creating a blank Chaminade video
Whoops.
And posting it online.
Whoops.
Oh, yeah, I might have been blank CBC.
I saw a CBC one. Well, maybe he did the sequel for Chaminade. I do not know.
Well, what I heard, and I think Tony Messenger even wrote about it, like worst dad of the year. What I was told, so CBC gets knocked out of the hockey playoffs, and this dad of a DeSmet or Chaminade player, maybe he's the DeSmet kid, the dad sends this really kind of F-bomb-laced
wow.
video to his son, just having fun. This is how it was explained to me. And his son posted it. And dad is a prominent doctor
Whoops.
At a prominent hospital.
Whoops.
And I don't think the dad intended for it to be for everyone's use, but the son decided to put it out there.
Oh.
And I think that caused him a little bit of distress at work.
And this sums it all up. High school hockey is club and played off campus, causing lack of control from administrators. So... Brian, before we get going, what about our good friends at Hot Shots?
Well, Frank, next week, March the 7th, TMA Live at the Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. There'll be giveaways, including a Doug Vaughn suspension t-shirt, and there's a raffle for a dinner with Doug. All you have to do to be entered is to simply get a raffle ticket from a 590 staff member at the event. Names will be drawn to decide who gets to play a trivia contest that will determine the winner. That's all next week, March 7th, TMA Live, Hot Shots in O'Fallon, Illinois. And on this March 1st, it's Friday, you guys will be there. The station will be there from 10 until 4 o'clock, kicking off the Cardinals opening day ticket giveaway sponsored by Anheuser-Busch.
All right, time for 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
True or false, you've received emails over the years at TV complaining that you don't cover bowling enough. I got a complaint the other night, said, where is the bowling coverage? What's the problem? This is a big bowling town.
Is this Iggy?
It might have been Iggy's fake account. Have you ever received an email complaining that you're not showing enough bowling?
I have not, but we did get a text seconds ago. I used to bowl in high school. Those parents can be nuts, especially when they stand less than 10 feet behind the lanes in matches and tournaments.
That is true. Bowling mom and dad could be pretty close. They could probably have a pitcher of beer while watching their kid. Actually, this is the sport Carson needs to get into. He's got bowling practice. Honey, I'll take him today. Pitcher of beer, maybe one of those little microwavable
hey,
pizzas.
There's never been a bad cheeseburger at a bowling alley, too. They are great cheeseburgers.
Hey, we better stay after and have a little extra practice today. I don't like your release.
Damn, my wrist hurts.
Get back out there. Yeah, bowling parent. Could just be hammered the whole time. All right, number two. Who's the equivalent of David Backes in the Cardinals' history?
Oh, no.
No, just like had a
like
great
a
career.
Leader.
Not legendary.
This is about his uniform number,
no,
isn't it?
Loosely, I'll get to that. But it led to a great debate on people are saying he didn't win anything. He was overrated. He wasn't that special. I'm like, well, he was the captain. He played here for a long time.
Well, I mean, Simmons didn't win anything.
You think
Simmons
Ray
is a little better player?
Yeah, it's a good example.
A good one.
Like a really good player, not a legendary player.
His back is like a Mark Bulger?
Yeah.
Steven Jackson-like?
That's not bad.
Like
Steven
Jackson's
good run.
Not bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good run. It led to a lot of debate where people are saying, hey, I loved Backes too, but he never won anything. My point on it, and I'm letting it go. I'm not.
You are not letting this
I
go.
I am letting
no.
it go.
No, because what's going to happen is at some point, Michael Delzato is going to have a bad game. He'll have a turnover that leads to a goal, or he'll miss a wide open net, and you're going to go on Twitter and come on the air the next day and say, the guy that gave Backes his number two screwed up last night and cost the Blues the game. That is 100% going to happen.
I thought, being polite about it, you give away the number. You can give away 42, but maybe wait for somebody... bigger name than Michael Delzato. No offense to the great Italian.
Wow.
No
offense. You're so anti-Italian. It's unbelievable.
I just think
his name was Michael Migzato. You'd have no problem with it.
You picked
Ozato, you'd have no problem with it.
Yeah.
You seen him with the O'Reilly sweaters he wears all the time now?
On the set. All right, related note, and Randy Carricker, to his credit, brought this up. Why haven't they retired number 44, Chris Pronger's number? Do you think they will at any time?
Well, and I think I've asked about this point blank, is I think during the All-Star Game celebration, that will be the time. And I've wondered, he's the best defenseman in Blues history. He is, okay? So I'm wondering, why not a statue? I mean, he played longer than I think one of those guys that has a statue out there here in St. Louis.
And the exit was sort of bad, but it wasn't his fault. Right. They dumped him.
Yeah, and the fact that he's a proud St. Louisan now that, you know, loves his town, sends his kids here, will never leave, married a St. Louisan, that doesn't mean anything. Bottom line is he's your best defenseman in history. He deserves a statue, too.
I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, too.
Yeah.
A hockey Hall of Famer.
I mean, think about this for a second. He was the first defenseman to win the MVP award since Bobby freaking Orr. Anytime you're mentioned in the same sentence with Bobby freaking Orr, that's good.
I mean, they better retire before Mizzou does. I mean,
now Mizzou getting to John Brown.
Not Fox 2's John Brown, but John Brown, who had a great Mizzou career.
Yeah, he was Norm's first great player.
It's just kind of weird how all of a sudden that's their thing.
But Anthony Peeler's still not retired? My theory is they forgot. They just don't know. Theory is they forgot about
it. In their defense, in fact, Jim Stark will be here Thursday, not in studio, but he'll be in St. Louis. Did they change the criteria for having a number retired? And that's why Chivas and John Brown are getting in now.
Huh.
All right, number three, Five Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. The next Cardinal, not named Goldschmidt, to sign an extension. Current player that they decide to lock up.
Well, I mean, Matt Carpenter may be that guy. I don't know if he'd be a long term. Let's see.
Do you think?
But you think? I'm thinking more younger.
Do you think Flaherty? Is it too soon? Well, let's say he's having a great year. I mean, they locked
that
up.
That makes sense.
They locked up Jaime Garcia really early.
How about Jordan Hicks?
Yeah.
But Flaherty would be the guy. He would make the most sense after a good season.
You could see them. If Plazzi were here, we could talk Bader.
Right.
Let's say he has a good year.
Plazzi loves Bader?
No, he doesn't pick on him. He picks on the fact that the Cardinals pump him up a little too much. He was at the Blues game this year.
They call him the king.
I think one person on there, whoever was handling their account that night, had a shot of Bader leaving the ice at the Blues game, and it showed Bader and said, the king has left the building. We're like, it's a little soon for that.
And offensively, there's still question marks. Legitimate question.
So maybe Flaherty? Let's say he's really good this year. They decide to lock him. It's amazing how many spring deals they've done. It's like a tradition, right? They just sit around
was
in
last
March.
Year.
Wong was 16. Carpenter was 14.
They tried Pham last year. He declined.
That's right. And then they just turned it to DeYoung. You want some money?
Then he just traded Pham.
Yachty in 2012. The first year after Albert. They're like, hey, your buddy's gone, but we got a bunch of money.
How about Pham, too, though? He would have got $4 million for two, and now he's getting $4 million for one this year.
And what did he get last year? Like that $500,000,
$600,000?
Yeah, right. So he ended up ahead.
Oh, yeah.
But not a ton.
Yeah, $570,000 last year, and then $4.1 million for this year.
All right, number four, Frank, you're an official. You just worked the VCU SLU game. You're on the lie detector. Do you get a little intimidated in that environment when making calls? Is that part of the bad officiating that takes place in that building?
That is the worst call I have ever seen.
Yeah, there were two bad ones. I thought the worst one was against French, where I thought he was going to get a three-point play, and they gave him an offensive foul and fouled him out of the game. I don't know. They're men, not machines. They make mistakes. But, boy, they made two crucial ones against SLU late in that game.
Three players for SLU fouled out. Now, again, the free throws weren't the difference, but a couple here and there would have made that game even more interesting. They were 15 of 25. Even late, you had Isabel who kind of bricked the first one.
Oh, my goodness.
It was one of the worst free throws I've ever seen.
How does a 1,000-point score in a point guard who's a good player miss a free throw like that? And you had Jordan Goodwin. He banked another one in.
Right.
He banked a free throw in. Do you know how, if I were to go to the free throw line right now and try to bank a free throw, it'd probably be like 15 shots before I could bank one in. I'd miss 15 in a row. That's amazing.
They were 15 to 25. Just two more? makes it respect. Three more, all of a sudden that game is different. All right, number five, your favorite Checkerdome / arena memory, 20th anniversary of the implosion of the arena. I can't believe that. 20 years since they blew up the building.
Okay, one is Ed Belfour smashing the stick after the sweep. That was like one of my first times here in St. Louis as a reporter. That would be number one. Number two would be Missouri-Illinois bragging rights game.
The triple overtime?
Yeah, where Kawan Garris missed the free throws and Norm was actually on the court.
That Blackhawks game is the infamous game that got Strick fired from Schnucks.
That's right. He skipped work.
That was the game?
Yeah, he skipped work.
It was a good cause.
I think I got to go Monday Night Miracle because I was actually there. I know everybody says they were there.
Really?
My friends wanted to leave, and I said, I was a senior in high school. I'm like, we got to stay. And everybody had their first concert. I think Tom Ackerman said Def Leppard, his first concert at the arena. My first concert, rock concert, was Steve Miller at the arena. Saw The Who, Springsteen, Van Halen. Did you go to concerts there? Frank's already
went
in fire.
I didn't smoke pot. I'm sorry.
Do you ever see a concert?
Go to concerts. It's not a prerequisite.
What I remember about Van Halen, everybody's in the building. There's probably a lot of pot in the air. I must have been like...
probably.
I must have been like 16 or 17. And everybody's just waiting, and there's sort of like a little music in the background. There's like this buildup. And this is Van Halen, which is perfect for like high school kids, a lot of testosterone. And all of a sudden, the spotlight goes on the stage, and you're thinking... Oh, Eddie Van Halen's going to come out with a guitar, or David Lee Roth is going to start things. And a woman in a bikini walks out, and the spotlight shoots on her, and she just takes her top off, spins around, and leaves the stage, and then they start into some music. That's how the concert began.
Can you imagine the ratings we would get if we did it in local TV?
Benny Hill did that for years.
That's good.
All right, five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
All right, the McBride Homes Union Stimulus Program is back. McBride has teamed up with the local construction unions to bring you the best home buying opportunity of the year. Buy now, get McBride Homes' best deal on a new home, plus get an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the local unions. It's the Union Stimulus Program. It's only during the month of February. McBride has over 40 communities across Metro St. Louis with homes in every price point and every lifestyle. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on this great Union Stimulus Program. All right, let's take a short time out. Dr. Rick, when we come back.